This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Forgive me, I have a bit of a cold after coming back to the very cold weather. But anyway, to kind of continue on the same, I guess you could say, wavelength that we were talking about the other day, the day before yesterday, when it came to heartache and, you know, and suffering and trials and tribulations. Unfortunately, my phone didn't save that video. We'll redo that one on a podcast, inshallah ta'ala. For those of you who saw my post this morning, you'll know that equipment is rolling in, not only for the podcast, but for the Path to Peace productions, for the video production, etc., so on and so forth. So we're a little bit behind schedule on it, but we're doing it as quickly as we can, inshallah ta'ala. All right. So for everything that you go through in life, for everything, for the good times that you have in your life, for the bad times that you have in your life, for the, you know, the experiences that you remember favorably and the experiences that you, you know, remember with a little bit of angst and anxiety and pain, I just want you to know that every single bit of it, every single moment of it, every part of it, every experience has become a building block to make you who you are. It's become part of you. It's become a part of your nature. It's become a part of your psychology. It's become a part of your attitude and the way you, and your aptitude, the way you deal with the world around you. But the question becomes now, are you happy? Are you happy with who you are? Are you happy with what you have become? Before we even talk about it, embracing those things that happen to you, are you happy with who you've become? Because if you're happy with who you've become, and that's a very tough ideal to reach these days because of social media and social pressure of near perfection, and the idea of perfection that we put upon each other, that we expect, you know, we expect near perfection from one another. So it's a much more difficult idea to obtain, to be happy with oneself. But are you happy with who you become? Because if you can find happiness in who you are, if you can find happiness in the person that you've become because of the experiences in your life, then they were all blessings to you. And how do you become happy with the person you've become? It's terribly difficult. It's something that even I struggle with all the time. You know, the feelings of hypocrisy that I feel quite often because I'm someone who goes around giving talks and telling other people, you know, what to do and posing the, you know, what you could call a quote-unquote amazing example of a Muslim and how to try to become that. But I'm not fully at that yet myself. So there feels, there's always feelings of hypocrisy. There's always feelings of, you know, I'm not good enough to be doing what I do. But, you know, I have all my shortcomings. You know, my disposition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm always trying to improve upon it. That, you know, it has its ups and downs and struggles and so on and so forth. But, you know, when I lay my head down at night, you know, one thing that I want to try to always do is try to find a way to settle myself in my heart between myself and my Lord, so, you know, that I can sleep well at night, and hopefully if that's the last time I fall asleep, there'll be some favor waiting for me. But it is a constant struggle to find a way to be happy with oneself. You know, to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and know that what's looking back at you is something that you are content with. Alhamdulillah for everything. Alhamdulillah for the might be working through my personal issues until the day I die, because that could be next week, that could be next month, I could struggle with it for years, but I'm going to find comfort in the process. I'm going to find solace in the process of trying to be a better me. And no, that doesn't mean I'm going to be successful at that every single time. It doesn't mean that I'm going to make a mistake and I'm going to fall back a little bit and that's it, I'm done, I gave up, I've missed my target. Absolutely not. If that happens, I am, yes, truly going to be saddened by it, because no one likes failure, no one likes setbacks, no one likes not accomplishing their goals. But I'm not going to let that be the end all and have all of me. I'm not going to let that become my defining moment of failure. I'm going to find a way once I realize my trial, realize my mistake, realize my sin, realize my downfall. When I become cognizant of that, I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to smile and I'm going to say, you know what, let's go forward again. Let's make a move again. Because there are very few people in life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and has immensely blessed them to be able to remain upon the path of taqwa all the time, remain upon the path of righteousness and morality all the time. And we ask Allah to make us one of those people. We ask Allah to make us someone whom our good deeds are easy and our sins are difficult. Not the other way around, where sins are easy and good deeds are difficult. We ask Allah for that. But are we all there? No, we're not. So this idea of being pleased with oneself is a big psychological factor to being able to truly make some change. Because if you don't like yourself, if you don't love yourself, if you're not happy with the person that looks back at you in the mirror every single morning, then you're not going to want to improve. You're not going to want to change, because you're going to not be happy with what you have. So you're going to psychologically defeat yourself before you even get started. You know, you're not going to think that you're worthy of being a good person. You're not going to think you're worthy of being a good Muslim. You're not going to think you're worthy of change. And you know what, I've already tried this before and I failed at it, so why try again? Why put myself through that heartache and that hardship again? These are the types of ways that you will even subconsciously psych yourself out from making positive change in your life. That's just reality. You have to even be able to look at yourself and be overwhelmingly saddened by the sins that you commit. Yes, but understand that I'm not going to let this sin define me. I'm not going to let this backsliding define me. I'm not going to let my having been lost off the path of Islam properly for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I'm not going to let that be my defining moment or my defining essence. I'm going to try again and again and again and again, even if I fail at it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Even if I fail at it time and time again, I am going to try to do it again. And maybe, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to make dua to Allah that this time is successful. I'm not going to give up hope. That's the reality. Giving up hope and being the best form of oneself is life-altering. Because once you give up hope that you can change, or you give up hope that you'll be better, or you give up hope that there's another chance for you, then shaitan has beaten you. He's beaten you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, during his farewell sermon, he told the Ummah that shaitan has given up trying to get you in the large things and the big things. He's given up trying to make you worship sticks and rocks and stones and all of that stuff. So beware of him in the small things. Beware of him in the small things. So sometimes shaitan has had a lot of time with humanity to figure out how we operate and how we work with human beings, with the insan. And he knows that some of us are easily defeated psychologically. That all he has to do is psychologically get to us and get us to become despondent and get us to have despair and get us to be depressed and which is, you know, sometimes it's I'm not blaming depression on shaitan. It's not going on that road. There are 100% within the Muslim community, really quick side note, there are 100% in the Muslim community too many instances of inappropriately diagnosed psychological disorders. Far too many are blamed on shaitan and jinn, and people do have actual problems. There are many, many Muslims in our community suffering with mental illness that needs to be properly and professionally diagnosed and treated, which is another reason why even one of my aspirations is to pursue my psychology degree a little bit more once I finish my PhD, inshallah ta'ala, in Islamic studies. One of the things I want to do is finish my psychology degree in specializing in psychiatry, so that hopefully I can be a help to the ummah in a more professional and proper manner, inshallah. Side note aside, but shaitan gets us with these psychological barriers that we give up on ourselves, and he knows once we give up on ourselves, then, you know, we become very easy prey for him. You know, it's kind of an analogy, and I'm a southern boy, I'm a southern kid, so some of you will understand this, some of you might not, but it's like trying to catch a fish with a net. If that fish is moving around and always trying to get away from you and always trying his hardest to get away, even when you catch him on the hook and line, he fights you the entire way. That's a very difficult fish to catch. If he was just laying there on the top of the water, you know what I mean, just saying, you know what, I've given up, they're gonna catch me regardless, so I've given up, all I have to do is pull up in my boat, stick my net in the water, and it was an easy fish for the day. The other fish is gonna be quite hard. I'm gonna have to sit there and be very patient with him. I'm gonna have to try to entice him. I have to try to get his attention, and once I get him on the hook, I have to try to keep him on the hook and fight him the whole way in. It's a much harder process. So we don't want to make ourselves sitting ducks for shaitan, if that makes sense. We don't want to make ourselves, just sitting duck targets where shaitan's going to easily pick us off. So the way you do that is you keep fighting. You keep fighting. Even if shaitan has hooked you, even if he's gotten you on the line, even if he's about to throw you in the net, you know, you've done so much wrong, so much, you know, sin, so much craziness, that you feel like, you know what, I'm about to be in the net, and in the net means in the hellfire, gone, done. I'm ended up in the net. I'm gonna keep fighting. I'm gonna keep fighting and fighting and fighting. That is how you make hard change in your life. That's how you make very difficult change in your life. But you have to find a way to keep fighting. Fighting for yourself. And that's part of having love for oneself, is that one will fight for oneself. One will fight to become a better person. One will fight, to get out of this dark hole that they find their mind in, this dark hole that they find their heart in. They're going to fight to get after it. And change is a process. It's not an event. And many people ask me, how do I start? How do I start if I've been away from Allah for so long? If I've been away from Islam for so long, I haven't prayed in years. You know, I haven't, you know, made dua in years. I haven't done anything that would resemble worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do I even start? You know, and a lot of you won't start because, you know, you're not gonna be a good Muslim tomorrow. You're not gonna be a good person next week. So it, you know, where do you even begin? You begin by putting one foot in front of the other. That's it. You begin up here, right here, telling yourself that, you know, I'm not gonna fail in this. I'm not gonna give up in this. I'm not gonna throw in the towel. I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna move forward, one foot in front of the other. If you haven't prayed in years, start today. Pray one time. Just pray one time. sincerely don't think about the fact that, oh my God, I need to pray five times a day, because that's how your mind has become. That, you know, there's a reason why you've stopped praying, and I got to jump back into five salah. It's overwhelming my mind a little bit, so, you know, I delay and I delay and I delay. Just pray right then. When you feel that urge, don't wait. You don't have to wait for Fajr or Dhuhr or Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Say, you know what, Allah has put this feeling in my heart of some remorse of my sins. You know, I feel like my heart's still a little bit alive, even if the smallest amount. I'm going to go make wudu, and I'm going to pray two rakah, sincerely. Not caring about, you know, all of the necessary arcan of the salah. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Just pray. Just pray and pour your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda. Pray, beg Him, plead with Him to help you fix your heart, to help you fix your mind, to help you know the right thing to do. If that's to seek professional counseling, if that's to talk to someone, you know, just give me the guidance in my heart to make that decision and go forward. And worry about yourself. Do you put you first? There are times in your life, where you have to become selfish about your own personal situation. That you need to do you. You know what? There's so much going on right now, and I cannot compute all of it and take on this huge task of bettering myself or trying to fix myself. So I need to cut off everything except the non-essentials to focus on this. And I've learned that the hard way. For those of you who've been following me for years, you will know that back in, I think it was maybe 2017-ish, that I took a long time off social media. I mean, I posted on Instagram maybe once a month, maybe once every other month. I didn't do any lives, you know, no stories, no nothing. And that's the same with all other social media. I kind of just took a step back and said, you know what, for years and years and years, I've been giving of myself. I've been giving out of myself again and again, traveling the world, you know, trying to do the best that I can. And I've been giving out so much and taking in so little that the level of depletion has become so much that I feel it. That I'm starting to feel the weight of this hole that's becoming in me, because I'm giving more than I'm taking. And we'll leave it at that. But I decided to take some time off for me, to take some time off for healing myself, for focusing on something that's right, focusing on what was right in front of me in my life. You know, what was right in front of my face, my family, my children, my health. You know, things of that nature. Not only my physical health, but my mental health. Because I plan to, inshallah ta'ala, become very open in the podcast. And you can thank, when you see him or go to his post and thank him right now, Brother Faisal Chowdhury from Freshly Grounded. Brother Faisal from Freshly Grounded said something to me in the podcast that I've known for some time, but that kind of made me realize, okay, I need to, if I'm gonna be a service to this message, I need to see something about doing something about this. Because he talked about my introverted nature, that yes, I'm a public speaker, and I talk to, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, but I am an extremely introverted person. I have been my entire life. And so once I'm off the stage, once I'm off the microphone, I revert back to that default state of being introverted. And he said that if you saw the podcast, was talking about this. So I've made a decision that I'm going to start being more open. And in the podcast, we're going to get real about some topics. We're going to get real about some subjects. We're going to laugh together, probably going to cry together, because I'm going to open up to some things that I've been through in my life that have taught me invaluable lessons and made me a better person, made me a better da'i, made me a better a husband, make me a better father, a better son, all of those things. Those didn't come just by, you know, opening books and looking at them, reading them, and implementing them. I went through some hell. And before Islam, you know, I talk about my story, about how I came to Islam, and I'm very vague about, you know, certain things, my childhood, etc., so on and so forth. I've opened up to part of that, very short. If you look up on YouTube my video about drugs and alcoholism, I open up to some pretty deep points in that, you know, that I grew up with a mother who was an alcoholic, a father who was an alcoholic. My grandparents were, you know, my lifeblood. My grandparents were the most quintessential couple I ever can experience. So I didn't grow up fully, you know, I never lived with my mother fully, never lived with just my father fully, except as a very young child. Most of it was spent with my grandparents, and we even, after my grandfather's death, we lived with my grandmother lived with us for the rest of her life. But as a child, and remember watching them growing up, they were the quintessential couple. You know, I mean, my grandfather was a hardworking mill worker. He worked at a cotton mill, and he worked there for like 50 years. You know, this was just the way the older generation were. You know, when he retired, he had a big retirement fund, a huge pension. They gave him a gold Rolex watch. I mean, it was just, times were different back then. But my grandmother never worked a day in her life outside of her home. But she worked very hard. I mean, there's no real salary that can be put on a woman who makes a home, because very, very few of us could afford it. If we as husbands had to pay our wives a salary for what they do inside of the home, we wouldn't be able to make enough. But anyway, I digress. I grew up watching her. You know, make a home for us, make a home for myself, make a home for my grandfather. I never once saw them argue. I never once saw them raise their voice to one another. They used to always speak to each other with the most endearing manners. It seems very odd to us as old, but he called her mom, you know, in a very endearing way. It's a very old Southern type of thing to understand. But because of them, I know what, you know, a stable home looks like, a stable like that. That became my my goal. That became my idea, that this is what family looks like. This is what a healthy relationship looks like. But then on the other side of that coin, you know, I grew up with a mother who was an alcoholic, and, you know, in very abusive relationships. Very, 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 very abusive relationships. There are parts of my childhood I remember visiting my mother after she disappeared from my life not long after I was born. I was like 3 months old and came back 6 years later. But anyway, I saw her every other weekend. On the weekends, she would come. There would be many, many weekends she would be so, you know, drunk and being abused by the relationship she was in at the time, that she just wouldn't show up and wouldn't call and wouldn't say nothing. You know, I would just sit on the front porch and wait and wait and wait until my dad made me go in. Because even though my mom disappeared from my life and did not have a functioning life of her own, she was my mother. That's just an innate part of the fitra of every human being, for their mothers, and especially boys for their mothers. But and my father the same way. My father was not abusive. My father used to whip my ass, no lie. I grew up getting whippings with belts, you understand? It was a totally different story. My dad had this one belt that just, wow, it felt like I was being, you know, smacked by lightning itself. But that's just the way I grew up, and I don't have a really, you know, I'm not sad about that. I'm not sad about that whatsoever. Those ass whoopings taught me very, very, very valuable lessons. My grandfather the same way. He used to have a very long stick, a very skinny long stick that sat in the corner. And if I got out of pocket, that stick put me back in it. I used to even go and break those sticks and try to hide them in the house, and he'd make me go pick another one. So I'd have to be out there picking the stick, and if I brought back a weak one, you know, I was going to go get another one, but I had to go pick the stick that I was going to get my ass whooped with later on. But anyway, so they became my goal. That's how I saw a functioning family. On the other side, I had, you know, a mother and father who had their own, struggling with their own very, very bad issues. And those of you who watch my video later on, my relationship with my mother would improve after I became a Muslim, and she would call me every single day. Every single day, no matter where I was at in the globe, my mom would call me and I'd have to answer. And she would, you know, call me, and I tried to give her Islam. She was so close to it, but you know, it was so difficult with the state of her mind at that time. But she would still call me on my birthday, even though she knows I don't celebrate my birthday. She would say, "I know you don't celebrate your birthday, but I'm your mother. I gave birth to you, and I'm going to call you and wish you happy birthday, even if I want to." The same with all the other holidays. The same with every single one of them. And what am I going to do? You know, say, you know, "Mom, you can't call me and say Merry Christmas. You know, I don't celebrate that." And even though I've explained to her the whole Saturnalia and everything, she would say, "Yeah, I know, but you're my son." And it's not a damn thing I can say to that. You're not even allowed to say oof to your parents. You know, I tried to guide them, but that's the best that I could do. And then in 2007, and my mother battled with cancer, you know, a few times back to back to back. And finally, she ended up in hospice care in 2007 at home, and I got to go, and I was with her till the very end. And my mother took her last breaths in this life with me trying to get her to say Shahada, but she was on so much pain medication that she could barely formulate a word. The very last word she would ever say to me was that she was sorry. She looked at me and she said, "I'm sorry." And she died in my arms. So, and that's just very one small, we're going to go very deep into stuff like this, so I can try to also show you what I've learned from it and how it's helped me in life. But I just want to let you know, that even if you've been watching me for years, you don't really know me. You don't really know how I became who I am today. And I hope to be a little bit more forthcoming with that, inshallah ta'ala. By the way, I'm using my front-facing camera. This is my right hand. Let's not go there this morning, inshallah. Front camera mirrors the image on life. But, you know, it's things like this that have taught me such invaluable lessons, you know. Because not only do I not want my children to ever have that type of terrible childhood, not only do I, you know, I want them to have the best childhood possible, but because of how my grandparents raised me, I know how to do that. You know, I know what that looks like. I physically know what that looks like because I lived in it. So I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for both of them. You know, that's the reality of it. And the same with my father. My father, I want him to accept Islam. He's told me he believes in my religion. He's told me that, you know, I believe what you say, but I was born and raised a Christian, and I'm going to die that way. You get what I'm saying? It's that very old idea of, but this is what we had found our forefathers doing, etc. But I'm still trying, and he has health issues. He's been in the hospital. He's had, I think, 5 strokes now. He's had 5 strokes. The last one, I went and spent time with him, and I'm trying my best, you know, to be there for him as much as I can and call him to Islam. But whether he accepts Islam or not, it's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants to guide him, he'll guide him. If not, I always tell my dad that you say that, but if Allah wants you to be a Muslim, if Allah accepts my dua for you, that you come to Islam, then you'll be a Muslim. That's just the way it is. But to go back to the very, very initial point that I've stated to you, beyond hoping that you are becoming excited that we're going to have these type of podcasts and very open, very, very raw in some instances, the point was learning to be satisfied with yourself, learning to be happy with yourself, learning to be content with yourself is so priceless. It's so priceless. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to discuss some ways that we can get there. Not only from the religious standpoint, but from a psychological standpoint, from a very holistic standpoint, some ways that you can get to where you want to be with your life, inshallah ta'ala. And you can find a way through the times when you don't succeed at it. Until our next live video, this one will go on Facebook. I'm going to try to double, triple make sure that this one gets saved before I end it. So this one will go onto Facebook and on YouTube under Yusha Evans Media. That's Yusha Evans Media. This is probably where Path to Peace is going to start, or I don't know why we might create another channel specific for it. So until our next live morning reminder, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and increase you all and cure you of all the pain and suffering and hardship that is sitting deep inside your heart. Find a way for you to let it go, process it, learn from it, embrace it, and then let it become a shining part of your character in life. Until our next live morning reminder, barakallahu feekum. May Allah reward you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.